Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast with me, Jason Bradbury.
And me, Susie Perry. Before we get stuck in, a quick word from our sponsor, CEX.
Yes, the treasure trove where old gadgets get a second life and you might just bag yourself a bargain Xbox, iPhone or even a Tamagotchi if you're lucky.
And every single thing comes with a 5-year warranty, including the things that Jason is clinging onto from the 90s, like that little Palm Pilot you've got in your man drawer next to the bed.
How did you know that? No, don't knock the old Palm Pilot, Suze. Anyway, whether you're trading in, buying new to you, or just browsing for nostalgia, check out webuy.com or one of nearly 400 CEX stores across the UK.
In this week's episode, we're diving into all of Meta's big announcements, from the AI glasses with built-in displays, gesture-controlled wristbands, and athletic smart shades from Oakley.
Cool. But first, a little something called Our World of Tech, where Susie and I tell you about what we've been up to tech-wise since the last pod episode. Susie, what have you been playing with? What have you been watching? Or what might have caught your eye this week?
Two things. I've got something that I think you'll love, but I've also want to update something, because obviously the first Gadget Show podcast we did, we had, well, you surprised me, didn't you, with the Apple Vision Pro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say something, because it kind of goes a bit quiet. And then last week when I was working in Misano for MotoGP, my editor came in and he was absolutely buzzing. And he'd had the Vision Pros on with some footage that had been filmed in MotoGP. So you can imagine how absolutely incredible it looked. And he was just enthusing, as if he was the only person in the world that had ever seen it. And of course, he was saying to me, "Oh my God, you've got to try it. It'll be amazing." I'm like, "Well, yeah, kind of. I do know that. Thank
been
you.
There, dude. Yeah, been there. Thanks."
But the point is that it's, you know, rolling out commercially and it's being used in different ways. And I just wanted to sort of just drop that on the map, because I thought it was really interesting.
I think it is interesting. And I tell you why, because when people ask me about the Vision Pro, the thing that I say is a game changer. It isn't like watching a movie or some of the kind of the cool, you know, user interface, which is amazing, actually. It's the courtside basketball demo that I saw, or, you know, alongside the pitch, like literally on the pitch line with the footballers, because for me, it represents a genuinely game changing opportunity to experience sport in a completely new way. So I think his enthusiasm completely.
Yeah. And I just think for sport, it's brilliant. Anyway, it's all kind of, it's starting. So I wanted to throw that in, but cool. I know how you love drones. You're just a massive fan. You always have been. And I did spot something that I thought you might like. So the DJI Mini 5 Pro, have you heard about this? It's a tiny drone. Yeah, are you like, as if I'm going to catch you out here. Well, it packs the same punch as some of the bigger drones, which I thought was quite interesting. So it weighs under 250 grams. So that's massive, really. 50 megapixel, 1-inch sensor.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Shoots 4K up to 120 frames per second. The flight time is about 36 minutes. Storage jumps up to 42 gig. So, you know, it's fantastic. I mean, the only catch is if you buy the additions, the additional bits and pieces, bigger batteries and stuff, it's going to take you over the weight, which is, I think, the USP of this, really. But yeah, so, you know, between six, eight, nine, it's still quite expensive, to over £1,000 if you want the premium bundle. But as pocket drones go, this one packs a punch. I think it really sounds fantastic.
So we previewed the Avata 2 by DJI. That's the one with the kind of accelerometer-based, what would you call it? Like a hand grip rather than the more traditional sticks control system. And I found it so intuitive, I bought one. And I've had it for a year now, and I've taken some incredible footage, Suze, on the coast here in Cornwall, chasing surfers with the spray coming up, and you know, I found the seal in the local harbour and filmed him with the drone, and I absolutely love it. But yeah, that 1-inch sensor, I'm well jealous. But yeah, absolutely on the money, Suze.
Yeah, like to have a little play with that. What about you? What have you been looking at?
Well, I was really excited by a little bit of Nintendo news, would you believe? So I was recently watching the Nintendo Direct and was absolutely amazed, as I think a lot of commentators in the gaming space were, to see that they are bringing back no less than the infamous Virtual Boy. So, you know, the 1995 kind of commercial flop that was the Virtual Boy, which despite its not making it commercially, I absolutely love it. I mean, it's a beautiful piece of 90s, you know, classic vintage design with a very distinctive red and black display. That's all you get. But you squat down. It's got these legs on a table. You put your eyes into it. This is, you know, back in 95. And you get to play some really quite decent games. Anyway, I think everyone was amazed. I certainly was. I never saw it coming at all when they announced that they're bringing it back. But actually, it's a rather inexpensive kind of, how would you explain it? The kind of body of the device. You open it up and you drop your Switch or your Switch 2 into it and you can enjoy a host of, I think, 14. They're rolling out 14 of the original lineup of Virtual Boy games. So it's just amazing. There are two options. You've got the option I just described, which is very affordable. I think it's $99 or thereabouts. But there's also a cardboard version, that kind of Labo style thing that they did a few years ago, which would be about $25. So I don't know what that will translate to in UK pounds. Anyway, frankly, the cardboard one is about as low-tech as you get, but you're still going to get the stereoscopic effect. That's the important thing, is it turns your Switch or your Switch 2 into an actual, you know, 3D effect device, which I think is really, really cool. Now, the lineup includes Mario Tennis, which is one of the most popular games on the original system. Tele Roboxer, never played that. Virtual Boy, Wario Land, Mario Clash, Jack Bros, and a few other things, including Space Invaders, which I've played on the Virtual Boy and is cool. And Tetris, I think. I seem to remember from the presentation there were two types of Tetris. Anyway, not all of them will land on day one. They're going to be rolled out gradually. But, you know, still, that's most of the, you know, big name games from the original Virtual Boy's catalogue. And I just think it's great. It's such a brave thing to do. I can't imagine it's going to be a huge money spinner for them. But what a load of fun.
It's interesting, though. It could be like one of the strangest but coolest bits of tech around at the moment. Yeah.
It's coming out on February the 17th, I believe. Now, let's be honest, you know, the original Virtual Boy, you couldn't wear it on your face like most VR helmets that we're used to now. It was on a kind of stand on your desk, as is the new rendering of it. The graphics, as I said, are just red and black. So a bit neck strain, a bit headachy. But it was also kind of Nintendo at their most experimental, which, you know, is that is the point, you know. And I think with this, it's Nintendo saying, hey, you know, even our failures deserve a second chance because they're part of the unique story that is Nintendo. So I'm definitely going to be strapping my Switch 2 into a brand new bright red plastic headset and playing Mario Tennis come 2026.
Bit of retro gaming nostalgia there, a bit of Back to the Future almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you want more from our Tech Live, don't forget we've got our Patreon. Over there, you'll find exclusive episodes, bonus clips, behind-the-scenes extras and gadget chat that we couldn't cram into the main pod. It's the only place where you can watch ad-free.
Yeah, so if you want to support what we do, it's a really great way of continuing this kind of content. So please head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and join the community. We'd love to have you there.
Right, let's get into our big story then. Meta's brand new tech lineup. Mark Zuckerberg took to the stage at Connect 2025 last week, and even with a few tech demo fails, there was a lot to take in and to be impressed by. So the headline, well, obviously, Ray-Ban glasses with actual screens in them. Called Ray-Ban Display, smart glasses with a full-colour display built into one lens. Instead of pulling out your phone, you get notifications, maps, and even live captions floating right in front of your eyes. Jace, I know this is something that we've discussed in previous episodes, and you're very excited for glasses to replace the mobile phone. Are these the replacement?
I think it's a really big evolutionary step towards that reality, yeah. Now, bearing in mind, I've not been fortunate enough to try them on yet. And I think, you know what I mean? I think that sort of tech, you got to try it, right? Mm. But, you know, a few trusted sources, some very, very good friends of mine have tried them, and they all seem to be quite positive about them. One or two absolutely quite mind blown by it. Apparently, the display, which is quite small, as you suggested, is actually very, very bright. And I think that's important, because I remember Google Glass, you know, the display was tiny. It was like smaller than a postage stamp. But the other thing about it that people often don't say was that it was so dim, like you could hardly read it. So you ended up kind of like looking at something that would be a good background to see it against, whereas that's not the case with these. Then there's some other really cool stuff about it, which got me really excited. And that's the neural band, which, you know, I know you'll know all about, but in case anyone listening or watching isn't familiar, the neural band is designed bespoke by Meta. It's the first thing that anyone's really done anything like this, certainly alongside glasses. And it works in tandem with the Ray-Ban display using something called electromyography. So I'm going to pretend that I know what that is, but actually I'd never heard of it. So these are sensors that detect muscular activity, so tiny electrical signals that are generated when our muscles contract. And so what it means is that you can do all kinds of cool symbols with your hand, all right? And those tiny electrical signals can be translated into what I can tell from the sources I trust are incredibly accurate. One of the people that I talked to about this said that every single input they did worked. Like, they literally didn't have a misstep once. Wow. Well, I mean, I know. Well, on my phone, sometimes I'll go to make the screen on the YouTube app bigger and it doesn't work. Like, it takes a few punches. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. I guess the great thing about that is you're not actually touching the glasses.
You're not touching anything. You can touch the glasses. The interface that from the previous version of these is still there. But you don't need to, because you've got this way of kind of, well, it's like you're making shapes in the air, like a kind of, I don't know, like a magician, except you don't even need to have a wand. So I think that's the you know, one of the big significant things that came from the launch. I've got to say, let me just say this. Zuck is one awkward guy, right? Yeah. And I think he managed this really, really well. I felt it was something of a Steve Jobs style presentation. And some people in chat might disagree. So let us know if you disagree with me down below on whatever platform you're watching or listening to this podcast on. But I really liked it. And there was a really good section where it started in a trailer, like you imagine like a Hollywood actor's trailer. And it's Zuck, and he reaches forward, and the you're looking at him via the glasses. They've got this 3K video display, which is very significant. I think it's double the resolution of the previous version. And he reaches forward, so you see him, and then he puts them on, and you can see his perspective and his feet as he walks down the steps of the Winnebago or whatever it is in. And he walks, and he fist bumps everyone. It's quite cool. It sounds cheesy, but I quite liked it. And then the audience are getting really excited because they're suddenly realizing, you know what I mean? It's that kind of, you know, it's a phone, it's an internet device, it's a music player. You know, that Jobs iPhone thing. It's a bit like that. I really liked it. 600 by 600 lens display. But again, really, really bright. I don't have any data on the nits or what exact brightness, but apparently shockingly bright. And a 90 hertz refresh rate. So that's great. That means that we stand a chance of not getting eye ache, which I know I talked about in the last podcast. 42 pixels per degree. So that means you can very clearly read text. And I was doing some research. I didn't actually hit on anything definitive. I wanted to know if I could get an auto cue, you know, like a teleprompter on the glasses. Can you imagine being able to do that? Imagine you, you know, down the pit lane, and not that you need to because you're such a professional, but I would need it. And you get all the data and all the stuff about, you know, what the producer wants you to say or what you're saying at your event or what you're saying to the school children if you're a teacher or, you know. I think it's really, really cool. Oh, 5,000 nits of brightness. I've just been given a note by a producer.
So that means that's high enough, isn't it, to be able to read clearly in sunshine, basically, that means, I think.
Isn't that amazing? So, And a bunch of microphones as well, which is great because, again, they enable you to interact vocally with them. And also, they also demonstrated some really cool translation stuff, some real-time translation, I seem to remember. And that's made possible by having five microphones so that you can, you know, target the person in front of you, even though maybe there are other people talking around you, and then it will translate. Again, I'm a bit careful about that, like I am with the new AirPod Pro 3s because I've not actually tried it myself. I don't know whether it's distracting or whether it's an absolute game changer. So, but still very cool, very, very cool. And you know, a genuine move forward. I would say a bit of a leap, you know, a healthy stride forward into the future of smart glasses.
Yeah, it sounds like the batteries last quite a long time as well. And you talked about the gestures, but you can also use voice control as well, right?
Yeah, you can. That's the five mics are giving. I mean, obviously, there's a lot more to this than I'm giving you. So do your own research. But from a basic sort of product design point of view, like a product that fulfills a series of needs, not, you know, critically important needs, but interesting moves forward to the future, which, you know, I'm kind of obsessed with, which is, you know, replacing these with something just as light that give me a high resolution display that I can paint the real world with. This is the closest we've come, I think, and I'm pretty much lining up to buy them. I mean, that's how interested I am.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. Like you say, they're about the same weight as a decent frame pair of glasses like the ones you and I are both wearing currently.
Okay.
There's two different frame sizes, I think, and prescription lenses coming soon. Because obviously, you know, people like you and me can't read.
Yeah. I hope they can do that. Multifocal. I think as well, they have a transition photochromic option, don't they? Because you said that. And I thought that's cool because mine are transitions. And I do like the fact that when I'm indoors, I can still keep them on. You get what I mean? Like if they're just shades, then you're going to wear them outside. But it's really exciting stuff. And actually for Zuckerberg, it was quite an exciting thing. I really enjoyed it. There was a lot of theatricality about it.
Yeah, flashy. It was quite flashy because I don't put him and that word together really generally.
You know, it was super awkward.
Yeah. But, yes. I mean, there was a few fails, but anyway.
There were. What was the one? Was it the chef? There was a chef, wasn't there? Was attempting to help it. He was asking the glasses to help tell him what to add to a Korean sauce, I think it was. I think that's what it was.
That's
and
very specific.
The glasses just could. He was saying, what do I need to do next? And the glasses are going, don't know. You know, nothing really. And then he asked again. But again, it was all received in good faith. It was a bit of a kind of bulletproof glass on the Cybertruck moment, but it was quite charming. Anyway, 799, Susie, including that neural band. That's in dollars, so do your own translation. Not sure when they go on sale. Have you got that data?
Yeah, so end of September in the US, but we don't know about the UK yet. We're waiting to hear that. Early 2026 is what I've heard.
Oh, God, so we're going to have to wait for them. Right, time for a quick shout-out to our sponsors, CX.
Yeah, why don't you think of it like a giant sweet shop? So instead of sherbet dips and cola bottles, it's gadgets, consoles, laptops, cameras and retro gold.
Nicely said. Everything's tested and comes with a 5-year warranty so you can shop safe, even if you're picking up something as old as a Sega Dreamcast.
Or as new as the iPhone 17. And don't forget that CEX will give your old tech a new home too and pay you for the privilege.
Yeah, a little tip from the top, Suze. One of the things that I like to do is I hear that a new type of gadget in a particular genre is coming out, like a new gaming console where there was one before it. And then I quickly trade my gaming console in at CEX so I can buy the new one. Or if you're happy to go for like last year's model, as it were, when this year's model is announced, give it a few days, then go into CX and you'll see last year's model on the shelf because people like me are trading it in. Anyway, head to WeBuy.com or one of their stores and tell them that Jason and Susie sent you. They'll definitely probably not really care.
So alongside the flashy new Ray-Ban display glasses, Meta also revealed a pair of Oakley smart glasses built for sport. They're called Meta Vanguard, and they look just like Oakley's classic wraparound cycling shades, but with some hidden tech, of course, inside. You've got a central camera in the nose piece, plus microphones and speakers, so you can take calls, listen to music, chat with Meta AI, or record content while you're exercising. They weigh just 66 grams, so they're pretty light. The lenses are swappable. They're water resistant, and the battery lasts up to 9 hours, so they'll see you through a marathon maybe not me, because I'd probably have to walk the whole way, or even a long bike ride. Meta have teamed up with Garmin, so the glasses can link with your watch or bike computer, and that means that you can ask out loud for your speed, pace, heart rate, distance, that sort of thing. And you'll even get a little LED light that flashes inside the glasses when you hit your target, like a pace goal or heart rate zone or whatever you're after. Yeah. Also, the camera automatically records clips whenever you hit a milestone. So every
kilometer. A hedgehog.
Probably a hedgehog. Yeah. So every kilometer, a certain elevation, a hedgehog, or even a sprint, then it stitches them together with your stats into like a little highlight reel, so you can post it straight onto Strava. Because I've got loads of friends that are obsessed with Strava.
I just
hedgehogs.
No, I love the idea.
For some people of a certain age, this reminds me of Not the 9 o'clock News. Google it, kids.
Yeah, the idea that you have a really bad ride where you crash loads, and it stitches all the clips together without asking you to put it on social media.
It doesn't put it on if you don't want it.
Because one of the things that I love is I like doing deep dives on reels of people falling over and stuff. That's one of my favourite things.
Shall I get back to the old Oakley Meta Vanguards here?
Yeah.
So they're going to cost £499, €549. And they start shipping 21st of October, so next month. And if you're not sporty, Meta also refreshed the standard Ray-Ban AI glasses. The second gen model now has double the battery life and a sharper video camera. And they are £379.
Okay, so just to finish off the kind of Zuck announcements from this week, sadly no news on a new edition of the Meta Quest, but they did announce something called Horizon TV for existing headsets, and even got the one and only James Cameron on stage to talk about it. It's basically a big streaming hub built straight into the headset. So it pulls in all the usual suspects, Prime Video, Twitch, Disney Plus. And there's even a plan for studios like Universal to add immersive movie extras. So maybe, you know, horror films that kind of jump out at you in VR. Now, a couple of caveats. No firm word yet on which Quest models will get Horizon TV or when it'll be rolled out outside the US. So if you like the idea of turning your VR helmet into a personal home cinema, the Quest is evolving. We're just not quite sure when for the UK.
Right, now it's time for a bit of fun. It's a new feature that we're going to try on the podcast. We're going to do blind rankings. Now, if you don't know how this works, we've both got a list of gadgets and we've got to rank them. But here's the twist. We don't know what's coming next.
No,
so once you've put something in a slot, it's stuck there. You can't move it, even though it'll be really, really annoying. No swapping, Jace. Okay?
No swapping.
No
swaps.
This
is going to end in tears, right?
No swaps, yeah.
A Nokia N-Gage at number one, for example. Right, ready when you are.
Right, Jace, and our first blind rankings, something right up your wheelhouse, handheld consoles.
Nice.
So you've got seven slots. You've got some classics in there. You've got some modern machines. Now you've got to rank them. Remember, no swapping.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
Nintendo DS.
Five.
Oh! Low. That's really low. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next one.
Ready.
Steam Deck.
Ooh, that's good. That is good, baby. I'm going to go for number two.
Okay. Second. Two for Steam Deck. Yeah. Here's your next one. Atari Lynx.
Pains me to say this.
Something's got to be down the bottom.
Number seven. Oh, no, no. Can I change that or not?
No. You said it.
You're going to say like... You're going to say something really bad.
You said it.
Oh,
number
no.
seven. Okay. Lock it in, please, Tom Clint. Lock it in. Here's the fourth one.
Yeah.
Nintendo Switch.
Well, for me, that's going to be number three. I might have put some noses out of joint there with the Steam Deck at number two. They're both really at number two, but we'll put it at the third, Switch.
Okay.
And also, it's been superseded by the Switch 2. So, yeah, number three.
Fair enough. Here's your fifth one.
Yeah.
PlayStation Portable.
I'm trying to remember how many slots I've got available.
Okay, you've got one, four, and six left.
It's either six or four. Because the classic first-gen Game Boy is going to be number one. You know it. I'm going to go 4.
Okay.
I had a second thought. Misgivings.
Okay, fine. Nokia N-Gage.
Yeah, I did it right. 6.
Not really.
Here's the thing.
Not far off.
I like my N-Gage.
I know you do. This is subjective.
I only know one other person that loves the Atari Lynx. Yeah, so I'm happy so far.
Okay.
First gen Game Boy.
You've played a blinder. You've literally played a blinder.
Bring it on.
Go on. Last one.
What is it?
Game Boy.
Yep, number one. Yes! I'm happy with that.
You did very well.
Thank you.
Yeah, you did very well. I think that was very well done.
And you agree with the most of those numbers?
Yeah. So your final order. Number one, Game Boy. Number two, Steam Deck. Number three, Switch. Number four, PSP. Mm. Number five, DS.
Yeah.
6, Nokia N-Gage. And 7, the Atari Lynx.
Yeah. All right, Susie, it's your turn in the hot seat. All right, but this time it's about Apple's greatest hits. All right, so remember, no swaps, no second chances. Are you ready?
But go on.
Here we go. iPod Classic.
The iPod Classic. Oh, you see, that's a life changer for me.
Yeah.
The iPod Classic. That got me on the Gadget Show.
Did it? Why? Did you do a little audition about it?
An audition, and I did it about the iPod Classic and why it was a game changer and how it was the first unisex gadget that worked beautifully. And I mean, I'm going to find that hard not to go straight at number one with that.
I was going to say, then it needs to be number one. It changed your life.
If I back it up, I'm putting that in at number one.
Confidence is scary. You're so confident. Next one, tricky one. This the Newton message pad.
I should put that at 7, shouldn't I?
Are you well? You've said it, so you have to. That's the rules, isn't it?
True. I did that to you. Okay, 7.
You did. I'm not going to comment yet. Okay, Apple Watch.
This is deep. This is very deeply personal, isn't it? Really.
You got 1 and 7 so far. You got.
I know.
2 to 6 left.
I'm going to put it in at 3.
Okay, so the Apple Watch goes in at number 3. Okay, good.
Yep.
Okay, next one is the first iPhone.
Oh, what memories of the iPhone, honestly. This is like a walk down memory lane, isn't it?
It is.
So the first iPhone, you and I pitted against, we pitted it against the Nokia N95 in Barcelona.
Yep, we did,
And we jumped off that bloody bridge.
Yep.
To test it, because it was the first phone really on a mass scale that had no physical buttons. But of course, you know, it's kind of foray into all the apps, really, wasn't it? It was so significant. I'll have to put it at number 2.
Next up, a gadget that I believe recently you put in the washing machine. Not intentionally, but that actually happened. I'm talking about the AirPods.
I know if you're watching this, you're probably thinking, what a stupid cow doing that. There will also be people that are like, I've done that. I've done that as well. I'll tell you something. I've done it twice. And they're still going-ish. Not very well, which is why I'm really excited, because it means I can buy a new pair. I can get the Pro 3s.
It justifies the Pro 3s. Yeah,
when they come out.
I get you. But more to the point.
Blind ranking. Get to the point. What numbers have I got left?
4, 5, and 6.
Are you going to give me something rubbish? I might have to go 5.
And then what about this? Apple's short-lived, we'll call it a games console, kind of open computing platform, but very much pitched as a gaming console, the Pippin.
Oh, God, that should have gone 7, shouldn't it? It's got to go 6. Right, so I've only got number 4 left, so whatever you're going to give me now has to be number 4, whether it's rubbish or brilliant. So I don't know what I've done.
I mean, I would argue it's pretty brilliant. I mean, it was sort of created a new category, really, and was definitely the most defining release of 2010, the iPad.
I think that's fair.
Okay, good. Well, these are your choices. I agree. I don't think you were far wrong there. Interesting. The Pippin would have been 7, do you think?
Yeah.
Is that what you would? Yeah, yeah.
I would have switched 6 and 7 round, but I'm pretty happy with everything else.
Yeah.
You know, because the great thing about this is it is deeply personal, I think. I'm not going down like the specs or anything like that. It is what it means to me and how it's affected my life. So, yeah, That's good. I'm good with that. What do you think, though, guys? How would you have... Did you play along with us? And if you did, what were your lists of seven? Let us know. And why? And
yeah, it would be absolutely fascinating. You may have seen on the YouTube channel that I've started answering everyone's comments. Someone from the team...
No friends.
Yeah, someone from the team will definitely look at whatever interaction you have with us on whatever platform you try. So do get involved. I'm genuinely interested to know what you think of these rankings. Well, that's a wrap for this week's episode. And of course, a huge thank you to CEX for backing the show.
Yeah, whether you're after the latest gadgets or a retro throwback, CEX has you covered. Now, before we sign off, we would like to give a massive hug and some love to our amazing Patreon supporters.
Absolutely. So huge gadget love coming at you. Dean Day, Chris Cool, Stephen Green, Tall Man with Glasses, Andrew Bamford and Duncan Bell. Thank you so much.
And also to Colin Jones, Gordon Packer, Richard Martin, Simon Ryland, Philip Eddington, Richard Wykes and Danny Rushton. You're all legends. Thank you so much.
And if you'd like your name to be on that roll call, it could be. Just join us on Patreon and you'll get loads of extras. Honestly, we are shooting them. We are giving them to you, I promise. Plus, the show completely ad-free.
Exactly. Head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow to join. And you might just get a little shout-out in next week's pod. And make sure that you tune in later this week for our very first Q&A episode, the Inbox Edition.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint and is a North One production.